Powerful. Thank you, Carol. Carol sang that at our contemporary service, and it was so moving that I thought it was appropriate to do it at this service as well. Is that okay? Thanks. Well, this morning we are continuing our series in the names of a believer. A year ago, we looked at the names of Jesus Christ, how he's called Lamb of God, Son of God, Emmanuel. In this number of months till the end of April, we're going to look at different names of the Christian, of the believer. We looked at the word Christian, that we belong to Jesus Christ. We looked at we're called the sons of God. Jesus is the Son of God. We are a son of God. We looked at how Christ is an heir of God, and if you're a son of God, you have an inheritance. You are an heir of God. On New Year's Day, I went through all the holidays, but finally got to it, Christmas, Easter, and we looked at how if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. It was the new year, it was the new Lord's Day, and we looked at that wonderful passage. And then for the next 3 weeks, I said we're going to look at passages about what it means that we're a new creation in Christ. And so we're looking at these three different passages. We looked at the one last week. Let me just see, is this working here? Excuse me, let me go back. Here, we looked at this last week, that because I am a Christian, because I am in Christ, because I am a new creation, I am doing all things through Christ who strengthens me. I am doing all things through Christ who strengthens me. You know, Jesus says he is the great I am. Well, I am not the great I am, but in Christ I am. I am a new creation. And I am doing all things through Christ. Everything God wants me to do, I'm going to do and able to do through the strength of the person of Jesus Christ. So that's an hour message we had last week. This morning, we're looking at this passage. That I am casting all my anxieties, all of my cares upon the Lord because he cares for you. So these are kind of sort of themes that as we begin 2006, we're looking at. Wouldn't it be great that you would think of everything that you do in 2006, that you're able to do everything God wants you to do through Christ? That's a great way of looking at the life and looking at the new year of 2006. And next week, Lord willing, we're going to look at this passage. I am having all of my needs supplied to me according to the riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Again, these are things that is imperative, that is spoken to us, casting all your burdens upon the Lord. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But we are. I am doing all things through Christ. I am casting all my burdens upon the Lord, and I am having all my needs supplied to me, everything supplied to me, all of my needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. So these are these three themes that we're looking at for the new year of 2006, because we are a new creation in Christ, because Jesus is the I am what I am by the grace of God. So this is the passage we're going to look at this morning. I am casting, this is the New American Standard, I'm going to show you in a moment the King James, but I am casting all of my anxiety upon him because he cares for you. We have a whole year in front of us, and I can guarantee that in the year you're going to have some stress. I already feel stressed this morning, huh? You're going to have anxiety, you're going to have disappointments, you're going to have rejection, you're going to have confusion, you're going to have uncertainty, you're going to have certain things happen to you that are outside of your control. There are going to things that happen to you that are in your control because it was consequences of what you did. And how am I going to react to it? You know, I remember Chuck Swindoll said, life is 10% what happens to you, 90% how you respond to it. It's 10% what happens to you, 90% how I respond to it, that creates in me anxiety and distress and frustration and anger or disappointment or wrath or love or patience or kindness or casting all of these cares. This is the King James Version. Casting all of your care. I like that even a little better. All of your care. Maybe there's an anxiousness in the word anxiety, right? But care and casting all of your care upon the Lord because he cares. He careth for you. Now, you know, some people say when you come to Jesus, you don't have any problems. You shouldn't have any problems. Well, that's a big lie, that's false, and that's erroneous, and that's just a way of getting people to give their money, because if they gave their money, then they think that give to my cause and you'll get your happiness you have. My friend, when you come to Jesus, it's now you have someone who can help you through your problems and be there for your problems. And you can commit all these things to him of the problems that you have. And I'm just looking at, you know who wrote these words? Notice it's the Apostle Peter. And I just took a very brief overlook for a moment at the Apostle Peter's life. Now, you know what Peter was. Peter was a fisherman. And as a fisherman, look at these words that he is speaking. Jesus had just preached, and when he had finished speaking, this is Luke 5, verse 4, this is Jesus speaking. He said to Simon, "Put out in the water, in the deep water, and let down your nets for a catch." And Simon answered and said, "Master, we worked hard all night and caught nothing, but I will do as you say and let down the net." I mean, this is a fisherman's life. There's a lot of disappointment. You better believe in prayer, because if you're going to catch a fish this big with a hook this big in this much water, you better pray about it. Now they have fish finders, right? That's a good way to cheat, right? I know where you are, I know where you are, I know where you are. But I mean, just think of he worked all night and he caught nothing. What does that mean? That means that he's got a financial uncertainty that day, perhaps. He's got to go into his savings. I don't have anything for the market. We have financial issues. This was a fisherman's life. Lord, we worked all night. We worked hard all night. And we caught nothing. This was a burden he had. You don't work 8 hours a day and come up with nothing. You're self-employed and suddenly you have nothing. Bankruptcy is up. You know, there's never been more bankruptcies. Things are bankrupt. Airlines go bankrupt. Look at the financial problems. More than that, look at this. Leaving the crowd, this is Jesus, they took him, Jesus, along with them into the boat, just as he was, and other boats were with him. And there arose a fierce gale of wind, and the waves were breaking over the boat so much that the boat was already filling up. You know what happens when you get in a plane? There's a little turbulence. You know what happens when you take a trip? There's uncertainty. Here's a fisherman, and he lives with the weather. The weather effect, and there's a big storm. And what is he going to do? I mean, he's fearful. He's uncertain. What's going to happen? What's going to happen? You go to the doctor, and suddenly you have a storm in your life called your health. What are you going to do about it? There's this uncertainty. There's this storm brewing. There's this weather. There's cancer. What are you going to do? Look what they say. Jesus himself was in the stern asleep on the cushion. They woke him up and he said, "Teacher, don't you care that we're perishing? This is stress. We're about to die. Don't you care about it?" Oh no, you come to Jesus, you'll have no stress, no anxiety, no problems. Peter had it. And then he's just a disciple. They come to Jesus' house, or Peter's house. And when Jesus came into Peter's house, he saw his mother-in-law lying sick in bed with a fever. Was this fever to death? Was this fever going to cripple her? Was she taking her antibiotics? Did she have money for the antibiotics? Did she have a pharmacy prescription plan? Did she have a drug plan? Did she have an HMO, a PPO, a SSO? Look, isn't this the real life? No, my point, you think Peter lived in an ivory tower writing nice words? Peter went through a lot of anxiety. There's a storm in the boat. He can't get the fish all night. His mother-in-law is sick. And he wrote, "Casting all your cares upon the Lord because he cares for you." Isn't that beautiful? Look, his mother-in-law is sick. You get sick. We get sick. You have a relative. Someone walked in this morning. They had their son or grandson up in Minnesota that had an accident. And another email, another accident, and another email, another situation, another email. This is the real life of Peter. He walks in this house, mother-in-law sick. 104.2, 102.1. And then this is, of course, Peter's great anxiety that he had when he rejected the Lord. He said, "Lord, I will never disown you. I will go with you wherever you go." And he says, "Peter, before the cock crows, 3 times you're going to deny me." "I'll never do that." Peter was sitting outside the courtyard. This is Matthew 26. And the servant girl came and said, "You are with the Jew, the Galilean." But he denied it before them all, saying, "I do not know who you are, what you are talking about." They saw how they treated Jesus. They saw what they were doing to him. And suddenly they says, "Oh, you're one of them. You're like him. You're like the little Jesus. Aren't you a Christian?" "Oh, no, I'm not a Christian. Oh, no, I don't need this stress now. I'm just an observer. I want to see what's going to happen. Maybe he's going to smoke them and blow them away or something. Let's see what happens. Oh, no, don't come to me." He was scared stiff. When he had gone into the gateway, another servant girl saw him and said to him, who was there, "This man was with Jesus of Nazareth." And again he denied it with an oath. He swore. He cursed. He used a four-letter word because he was scared. He was scared. "I do not know the man." They didn't write the curse word. And a little later, a bystander came up and said to Peter, "Surely you too are one of them, for even the way you talk gives you away. You are with him. Let's get this guy. You are with him." And then he began to curse and swear. He took God's name in vain. He took God's name in vain. He began to curse and swear, "I do not know the man." And immediately the rooster crowed. And Peter remembered the words which Jesus had said, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." And he went out and wept bitterly. He wept bitterly. Have you ever wept bitterly? Why? Because he sinned against his Lord. He sinned. He was stressed out because of his sin. You ever get stressed out because of your sin? I have. And it's not very pleasant. David said, "When I was quiet about my sin, my body wasted away within me." That's a lot of stress. You hide your sin and you're going to have health problems. I guarantee it, because it's a tremendous force of anxiety and stress and secrecy and hiding your sins and covering your sins. Then they're in the upper room. Jesus has been crucified. They're scared stiff. And when the evening came on that day, the first day of the week, and when the doors were shut where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, What have we got ourselves into? What's going to happen to us? Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." He was scared. They all were scared. They were like little puppies. And they're going to go out and change the world? Go into all the nations, preach? My goodness, I'm not going out of the door. Peter had a lot of stress situations. He had a lot of anxiety, sickness in the family, problems at work, problems with the Lord, problems with his own personal life, denying the Lord. Then they laid him, he was out preaching now, and they laid hands on him and put him in jail. Anybody ever been in jail for Jesus? Anybody ever been in jail? It's not very pleasant. I haven't been in jail, but I visit a lot of people in jail. Put him in jail, and the next day, for it was already evening, he's in jail. What's going to happen? This is real life. These people, this man wrote this in real time and space of the stress he was going through. And the next day, their rulers and elders and scribes were gathering together in Jerusalem. And Annas, the high priest, was there, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and all were of high priestly descent. When they placed them in the center, they began to inquire, "By what power and what name do you have done these things?" Remember who Caiaphas was? He wasn't very nice to Jesus. Now I'm in the place where, what's going to happen to me? What's going to happen to me? Look at this. They brought him in the center. All these people around him, they're ready to pounce on him. You ever feel like things are about to pounce on you? The straw that broke the camel's back? Well, this message is for you this morning. Because Peter is writing these words. Casting all your cares, all your anxiety upon the Lord. He's in prison. And they say how the Jews are going to treat him. Then a little bit later, let me tell you how the Romans are going to treat him. Now about that time, Herod the king laid hands on some who belonged to the church in order to mistreat them. And he had James, the brother of John, put to death. Well, that's the first one there. He put so-and-so to death with a sword. And when he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded to arrest Peter. Oh, I'll get that guy, that guy that stood up that day. I heard about him. Big talker. Now it was during the days of unleavened bread. And when he seized him, he put him in prison, delivering him to four squads of soldiers to guard him, intending after the Passover to bring him out before the people. Hey, you don't want to mess with the Roman government, my friend. You don't want to mess with them. The Jews couldn't do anything about it because he was arrested by the temple guards. Now this is the government. You see the contents. You see the context. Peter had a lot of stress, a lot of anxiety, a lot of things that could cause fear in him, health problems, situations, financial problems, job problems, his own sin problems, his own future. What was going to happen? In prison here. So, look what he says to us. cast all your anxiety upon the Lord, on Him, because He does care for you. So let's look at these words. The first thing I like about it is the first word has to do with fishing, doesn't it? I never noticed that till this week. Casting. Who does casting? Fishermen do casting. Cast. Got to learn how to cast. Fly fishing, it's in the casting. And you see people out in the Middle East or so, and they cast their nets. They cast their nets. It's fishing. Fishing. You know what happens when you have a problem in a situation? You ruminate about it. You know what ruminating is? It goes in your mind. It's like in a cycle. It's like a little rat going over and 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 over. And Peter's telling us, shoot it up. Cast it out. It's this way. Get it out there. Throw it out. Cast it out. Think about it in that term. Like casting a net, throwing it out. Get it from earth to heaven. It's here, it's here, it's here. Shoot it up above where Christ is. Get it up there. Stop ruminating about it. You're not solving it this way. You need to bring it to another person of greater importance who can deal with it and take care of it and where you place it. But you've got to cast it. You've got to cast it. You know, there's something that I remember years and years ago that I've done from time to time, and my wife says I should do it more often. She says, you get paid for doing it. There's a thing by the Navigators called the 2-7 series. And in the fourth book of the 2-7 series, they have this wonderful, wonderful experience of spending a half day in prayer with the Lord. And I'm telling you, it's literally life-changing. When I have spent half days of prayer, it's really about 4 hours, 6 hours at the most, but that time frame. And before you come to it, you write down any and everything that concerns you. You literally have a conversation with your heart and says, tell me anything, even the slightest little bubble of concern. And then they guide you in bringing all of these things. I'll tell you, I get more accomplished in my half day of prayer than thinking about it for 8 months. And I think, Sam, what an idiot you are. And then my wife says, yes, and you could do this every day because you get paid for it. As a pastor. But that half day of prayer is all about casting. I'll loan you the material. It's phenomenal. To finally, and the answers you get, and the peace you get, which we'll get into in a moment. Casting, fishing, casting. Get it out. Throw it out. You think a lot about it, but then you throw it out. And then it says, casting all your anxiety, all. There is nothing that you can't cast out. There's nothing you ought to hold back. There's nothing you need to hold back. That's why in this 2-7, anything that comes up, write it down. Any little concern, bring it up. There's nothing. Casting all. Doesn't say casting some. Doesn't say casting just the spiritual. All. From mother-in-law sickness to prison to financial problems to not catching fish to denying the Lord to being rebuked by Jesus himself. Get behind me, Satan. Casting all your anxieties. Your family. Your family. Your husband. Your wife. Your marriage. Your children. Your wayward children, concerned grandchildren, physical problems, your health, your finances, your future, your retirement, your home, anything, the church, anything, casting all. You know, there's a hymn I didn't, or a song. I'm sure you'll recognize. I remember when I was in the 70s, there was this group that said, give it all, give it all, give it all to Jesus, broken hearts. You know this song? Do you remember this? I don't know who sang it. I looked it up. It was in the hymn book, and it wasn't in the hymn book. So it's not a hymn, but it's a kind of a poem. I see a number of you. Give it all to Jesus. Broken hearts. You ever have a broken heart? Give it all. Give it all. Then it says, casting all your anxiety, your cares. And I like it the way it is in the King James. You know why it's called a care? Because you're carrying it. That's why it's called a care. You're carrying it. Casting all your cares, all of my carriage, everything I'm carrying, casting all of that I'm carrying, all the hats that I'm wearing as a husband, as a pastor, as a father, as a believer, as a Christian, as a musician, all these different hats. You all have hats, many hats. All those things that you are, all your anxiety, all of your anxiety, all of your care, your spiritual health, your physical health, your emotional health. And I can tell you that, you know, anxiety, you know, they say that the vast majority of people who see a doctor have their health, what their health situation is not due to medical problems. It's due to their anxiety. It's stress. Stress. Stress is the biggest killer of human life. Stress. Anxiety. Anxiety. I can't take it anymore. I can't take this anymore. It's the last straw. You know, the straw that broke the camel's back. You ever see a camel's back? It looks pretty unbreakable. But here is just a little straw. Why? Because you keep carrying it. It's an anxiety. It stresses. It's pressing. It's a care. I'm ruminating. I'm getting nowhere. And it's getting heavier. I don't know what to do. And it's a longer time that I can't solve it. The more I have it, the more I don't know what to do. Therefore, it's heavier on me. Although it's not much different than it was 5 years ago. But it's still a concern. And it's heavy. And I don't know what to do about it. There's a thing in counseling called clamming up and blowing up. It's happening while I've counseled. They've come into me in the marriage and the woman has clammed up for 10 years, for 20 years. Meaning she's clammed up, she's had all this stress and anxiety, and then finally I get her to the point where I try to get her to express what she's been feeling, and you know what she does? She blows up. And I'll tell you, when a man clams up. Well, I'm not just trying to be that it's only women. A man clams up. No, this is true. It's a natural thing, counseling. If you clam up, you're going to blow up. You're going to blow up if you don't have an outlet for all of this anxiety. You're going to blow up if you don't have an outlet. I mean, you can only take so much. And literally, that's what happens to people. I've seen people in a room that blew up. And I'm telling you, I mean, it was bloody, it was messy, it was, in some ways, it was almost irreparable, but that was the first step to getting repaired. It was the first step to getting repaired. Finally, it's broken, and it's obvious that it's broken. Now, let's get to the surgery and get it healed. You know these words, where Jesus says, come unto me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden. It's like you're a beast of burden. You have all these cares. You know, I love the picture of Pilgrim's Progress by John Bunyan. You know what? He always talked about this when he met the guide and he met interpreter. He met these people. What about my burden? I have a great burden that is upon my back. What do I do about my burden? My burden. It's powerful. And then finally, someone comes and straps it, and it falls off. Jesus. We'll talk about it. But he was burdened, heavy. Jesus talked a lot about anxiety. We know these words. For this reason, I say to you, do not be worried about your life. Everyone look at me. 99% of what you will worry about never will happen. Listen, look at me, every one of you. 99% of what you are going to worry about today, this week, the next month, in your lifetime, will never happen. Never. But you know, we worry. I'll tell you why we worry in a moment. We worry. Jesus says, don't be worried. Don't worry. Don't worry. Whoa. I remember once I read this to somebody, And you know what they said to me after I read this whole passage of Matthew 6? Don't worry about this. Don't worry about what you're going to put on. It was a Jewish woman. It was my mother. Wait, I didn't tell her it was the New Testament. And I didn't tell her it was Jesus, of course. I'm not saying this to be funny, so don't react. I read this to her and she says, "That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. Don't worry about this, don't worry about that." My mother's a big worrier. "That's the dumbest thing I ever heard, stupidest. How idiotic," that's what she said. "Don't worry about your life as to what you're gonna eat and what you're gonna drink. As for your body, as what you're gonna put on." I'll tell you why he's talking like this in a moment. "Is not life more than the food, and the body more than clothing? And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life?" You know what Jesus said by that? Your worry won't happen. And your worry doesn't prolong anything because it's not going to happen. Which of you, being worried, can add a single hour to your life? You're going to live to be 95? You could have lived an hour more. You thought you lived in a little more because you worried. Your worry didn't add a single hour. Read on. "And why are you worried?" Over and over again. "Worried about clothing. Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin." They don't worry. "But if God so clothed the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, how much more will he clothe you? How much more? Oh, you have little faith. Do not worry then." How many times has Jesus talked about worrying here? A lot. Don't worry, don't worry, don't worry, don't worry. Anxiety, it's anxiety, it's anxiety. What we will eat, what we will drink, what we will wear. "For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, for your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all of these things." Not what you want, what you need. Remember we talked about that. That's the whole message last week. Get it if you want. It's not what we want, it's what we need. And a lot of times why the reason you have anxiety is because you're trying to get what you want. What you want is selfish. What you need is what God knows is your best. Now I'll tell you why we worry. I don't know why I'm into counseling. I haven't done a lot of counseling recently, but for some reason all these counseling terms came to me. There's a counseling term called future tripping. I'm a very big sinner in regard to future tripping. Future tripping is a cycle we get into where we're always thinking about the next thing to do. If you want to know about my life, I have a list that I made last night of about 35 things that I need to do. And it's always future. I get this. There's no place where you finally can say, You don't live in the present. You're always living in the future. I should do this. I should call here. I should do this. I should get this done. I have to do this. I got to make this call. It's always thinking about the future. And that's why we worry, because we're always uncertain about the future. So we're trying to take control of the future, and it creates a lot of anxiety. A lot of anxiety, a lot of stress. In fact, in the next verse, let me read to you what it says here for a moment, and I should have brought it up, but I didn't. Let me just read it to you. I don't think it's in the passage that I gave. But Jesus says this, listen, very powerfully. He says, therefore, why does he all says this? He says, therefore, so do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. That's the answer. Why we worry? Because we're worrying always about future tripping. Future tripping. What if this? What if this? What if this? And I told you 90% of the what ifs don't happen. But that's the seed of our anxiety. What if this? What if this? What if so and so gets a divorce? What's going to happen to this? What if this when we go to the doctor? What if this with the stock market? What if this? What happens if the company GM takes our pension? What if this? What if this? What if this? It's future tripping. And the answer here is what I call present casting. Present casting. You don't rest in the Lord because you're future tripping. And the answer is resting, the rest that we have, the quietness that we have. Notice, casting all your anxiety, all of this future tripping, all of this worrying, all of this uncertainty, all of this tomorrow, casting all of this upon him. Now, I'm going to spend a lot of time talking about this because this is the secret. Not the secret, but this is the solution. This is the answer. And, you know what your problems are. You know, when a person plays a piano lesson for me, I rarely correct their note mistakes. I was this week at Master's College teaching at the music school there, and people made a mistake on the piano. You know, I never tell a person when they make a note on the mistake on the piano. You know why? They already know it. I'm here to tell them what they don't know. You know you're a sinner. You know your anxiety. You know your stress. You know what you're stressed out about. Well, I'm here to try to help us together, and I'm preaching to myself. I told the Lord when I was doing this in California, I need this message. I need this message. Here's a blank page. Tell me what I need. First of all, he says, I'm going to go very slowly because there's a lot of points I want to make here. So if you could be patient with me, please do that. Come to me, all ye that weary and heavy laden. Casting all your anxiety, all your cares on him. Come to me. Come to me. And my friend, listen. There's only one way you come to Jesus to bring your anxieties and your cares. It is called prayer. Prayer. You may think about your problems. You pray about your problems. And let me tell you what I do. I have to pray out loud so I don't get distracted to focus away from what I need to bring and cast my care on. I pray out loud. So I'm hearing what I'm saying. So I'm concentrating, and I'm not just more ruminating. I am literally in time and space casting my cares upon the Lord. On him, I am communicating him. I'm telling him exactly how I feel, the fear that I feel, the anxiety I feel, the frustration I feel. I tell him exactly, and I say this almost irreverently, Lord, that's where I'm at. That's where I'm at. This is me. I have to be honest with you about this. I have to tell you, I'm mad at you, or I'm mad at this, or I'm concerned, or I lack faith. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. That was an honest man that came to Jesus. Help my faith. I do believe, but I have unbelief. I'm asking you, do you pray about it? I'm talking about, do you get on your knees and you fold your hands and you verbalize and you express exactly the anxiety, what you feel? You're not thinking about it anymore. Therefore, let us draw near to the confidence, to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. There's a throne of grace. There's a throne of grace. We're going to look at a minute what Jesus went through. Jesus went through a lot of anxiety. And what did he do? We're going to see what he did. But here, he's now at the right hand of God to intercede for us. We have a person now at the right hand of God who knows exactly what you're going through. He saw sick people. He saw dead people. He went to funerals. We saw financial ruin. He saw the judgment of God on people. He saw it all. Many times he experienced a lot of that. He knew what rejection was. He saw anger. He saw jealousy. He was brokenhearted. He knows exactly. We have a high priest who was tempted in all points like us. A high priest who knows exactly how I feel. That's why I say, sons, Lord, my family doesn't understand me. My wife doesn't understand me. The church doesn't understand me. But you understand me. And I'm not saying that. We don't say that to say they're wrong and I'm right. That's not the point. The point is, Lord, you know exactly how I feel. Let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace. Confidence meaning, don't just meander. Look at opportunity you have. To receive mercy and find grace in time of need. Look at this great verse. We're going to spend time on this a couple of times. Be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for anything? Nothing. 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 Why? Why? Because there is an outlet. There is a channel. There is a present answer. but in everything, by prayer and supplication. Prayer is expressing it. Supplicating is how you feel about it. Supplicating. David says, these are haters of God. I pray that they would be judged in blood and destroyed by their own wrath. You read David, this guy is, don't get in my way, baby. I mean, you read some of these words, that's how he felt. But he didn't do it. He wished he could take the sword of Saul and cut him up and cast him up. No, that's not me. But Lord, that's how I feel. I feel anger. The anger creates my stress and my hatred. I remember when I'd be frustrated in the pastorate, you know what I'd go home? I'd go home and hit my kids. What did my kids do? Now, I didn't abuse my kids. My daughter's here this morning. My daughter's here this morning. But I wasn't always, you know, I had moments that I'm ashamed of. And why was it? Because I had anxiety and stress and disappointment. And I can't go out and take that feeling to the president and do what I wanted to the president or to the faculty member or you know what I'm saying? Or to the church person or the person that's gossiping, the person that's trying to destroy the church or whatever the case may be. And then I was dumb to not realize there was a seed of truth maybe they were trying to communicate to me, so I was young and dumb. You know, but be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. My friend, tattoo this on your forehead, 2006. Tattoo it. Tattoo it right here on your forearm. You know, the Jews say, put the law upon your forearm. You know why? Because every time they say, little hands, what you do, I see God's law. Do this. Everything. What I do, where I go, put it down. Put it in your refrigerator. Any stress, any anxiety, any care, any disappointment, any frustration, cast it all. In everything, with prayer and supplication, let your request be made known to God. Tell him, my friend, it is prayer. And it's not a 20-second prayer, by the way, my friend. Well, I prayed about it. Was Jesus aware you prayed about it? Well, if he was busy, he missed it. You know, did you lay hold of that which God has laid hold of you? It's laying hold of God. It's like Jacob said, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. The few times I've seen amazing miracles, I've seen amazing miracles of people I've prayed with. I says, we're not going to get off our knees until we know God's answered our prayer. And I stayed on my knees for hours and hours with a person that needed an answer to prayer. And every time we finished our prayer, and got up, we knew God answered, and he did. A man with mental health, a man with financial problems, almost within 48 hours, it was changed and answered. Yes, I did Marge Schroeder's memorial service, and her son Chuck talked about the physical problems she had, and almost, he said, like Lazarus-type faith, dead faith. We had to bring it to Jesus Christ, and she was healed, never had this problem anymore. Their sister, Kathy, who had a rheumatoid arthritis, until she died, she was 46, 47. Problems she had in the hospital, the doctors couldn't do it. With Lazarus-type faith, dead faith. We did, Lord, this. We're desperate. But they brought it to Jesus, and it was healed. It was never had a problem with that before. Pardon me? Again, right. Never had the problem again, right. Never had the problem again. So what I want to do this morning is look at Jesus' life. Jesus had a lot of stress. You know that? He was tempted by the devil. He went out for 40 days and 40 nights. Now, you don't want to look for the devil. But the devil was looking for Jesus, and for 40 days and 40 nights he tempted him, and he came to him, and he finally, when the devil left him, and behold, angels came and began to minister to him. He prayed to his father, Lord, I'm exhausted. And God sent an angel. You know, angels are ministering spirits. And again, I'm going to tell you, it's the same thing. If you realize when you're going to see the video of 2006, your mouth will drop. I had no idea. You know, Daniel prayed to God, and immediately answered. There was the archangel that came to do battle. Read in Daniel's book. You know, it's talking about how our incense go up to heaven. Our prayer, the prayers of the saints, it's like incense, goes up to heaven. And then it says this, and the Lord of heaven and earth threw down lightning from heaven above. He responds. He does something. Here, Jesus was responded to with angels. At that time, he went off to the mountain to pray, and he spent the whole night in prayer to God. You know what the next verse is? The next verse, you know why Jesus spent the whole night in prayer? He had a decision to make. You have a job and you have a decision to make. You have a family situation, you have a decision to make. Jesus had a decision to make. You know what the decision was? Look, Luke 6:12. Oh, I should have put it in. You know what the next verse is? He chose who the 12 disciples would be. Look it up, Luke 6:13. He prayed all night to say, Lord, give me wisdom. I don't want to make a mistake. I don't want to make a mistake. Is it this person? Is it? It's almost like you could say this. Which football player do I take? The first round of the draft. I'm not trying to be coarse here or something. And you say, well, Jesus knew who the 12. Why did he spend all night in prayer? He's not going to make a mistake, but he committed his concern to God. He committed. And in Luke's gospel, anytime Jesus did anything strategic, he always spent the night in prayer. Now, if he has to do it, what do you think you and I need? This is the death of John the Baptist. What does John the Baptist mean to Jesus? And when his head was brought out on a platter and given to the girl, and she brought it to her mother, the disciples came and took away the body and buried it. This is about Salome and the killing of John the Baptist. They brought out his body and brought out his head, and the disciples came and got his body and buried it. And when they went and reported it to Jesus, now when Jesus heard about John, he withdrew from there in a boat to a secluded place by himself. And when the people heard of this, they followed him and on foot from the city. But what was the first thing Jesus did? He was crying. He was hurt. He was hurt. Can I say this? Father, why? 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 Me, but not him. He's the one that said, let him increase, I must decrease. Jesus, when he was hurt by the death of John, was crying. And he went and he prayed. Look. When he heard about John, he withdrew from the place in a boat to a secluded place. And he probably out loud told his father how he was feeling. Read on. When he began to denounce the cities in which most of the miracles were done because they did not repent. Here is Jesus preaching, Son of God, Emmanuel, the words of God. And people weren't responding to it. They said he was the devil. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the miracles had occurred in Tyre and Sidon, which occurred in you, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. Nevertheless, I say to you, it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you. You know what, Jesus, after all this disappointment, whoa, you don't realize. At that time, after this disappointment, his kids didn't grow up the way they wanted them to do. Your son's not the spiritual person you want him to be. Your daughter's not the spiritual person. Your grandchildren, your husband, your wife. At that time, Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth. You have hidden these things from the wise and intelligent and revealed them to the infants. Yes, Father, for this way was well-pleasing in your sight. He cast his concern. This is the first words. I thank you. I don't understand. I don't understand. But I thank you. This is pleasing in your sight. I don't understand. I don't understand. Why these people? Why don't they come? Why don't they understand? And then he says, the peace of God. Now that's the life of Jesus. These are just the highlight. The peace of God. This is verse 7 now. Casting all your burdens upon the Lord because he cares for you. And then with prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God. And this is what's going to happen. Notice. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. You know how you're going to know that you cast it? You're going to have peace. And I'm sure there's a million testimonies, and I can share it too, when in that anxiety, I feel peace. Now, my friend, listen to me very carefully, because this is the big mistake we do. This is casting, not like a fisherman. Because a fisherman casts and he's got a rope to bring it back. You cast and you cut the line. My friend, the reason you don't get peace is because you're casting it and you're bringing it back. And you're casting it and you're bringing it back. You know how you're going to get peace? When God sees you're casting it and you're trusting me with it. And you can. You can. I care for you. I do care for you. Let me ask you this. You've sinned, and you ask God to forgive you of your sins. And you know what I do when I ask God to forgive me of my sins? While I confess my sins, and I list the sin, and I tell the Lord of my sin, and Lord, I don't know what I do, and I say, Lord, I thank you that you have forgiven me of this sin. I thank you that Jesus Christ went to the cross for this sin, and I thank you that I am forgiven. Do you think I get up and I think about, I wonder if I'm forgiven? Let me do it again. You think I'm going to have peace about that? No siree. It's the certainty that I am forgiven. It's the certainty that I place it into the loving hands of Jesus Christ. And he will give you peace. And if you don't have peace, it's because you're trying to figure out the way. You don't trust God plan A. You want your plan B. In fact, if plan A doesn't come out, you've already got plan B worked out. Okay, Pastor Sam, I'll do it. I did it. Nothing happened. Like, okay, I gave my tithe and I expected heaven to open up. That's not what the reason you do it. Just the way you wouldn't have to want to confess the same sin. Now, if you do the same sin over and over again, you better ask God to forgive you over and over again. But I'm not asking God to forgive me when I asked him to forgive me of last night when I went to bed again this morning. That's done. That's finished. And I cast it in and I cut it. You cut it. The peace of God which surpasses all comprehension. Look at these words. The steadfast of mind you will keep in perfect peace because he trusts in you. Because he trusts in you. My trust in him. My belief in putting it in his hands. Notice. Peace I live with you. Peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, nor let it be fearful. Don't let it be troubled nor fearful. Here is, look, Peter's life. Look at Peter. When they had seized him, they put him in prison, delivering him to four squads of soldiers to guard him, intending after the Passover to bring him out before the people. So Peter was kept in prison, but fervent prayer, or prayer for him, was being made fervently by the church of God. Somebody was casting Peter. Notice, right? Remember, we stopped at the verse 4 in the beginning of Peter's life, and people were praying. They were casting. They were praying for him fervently. And on the very night when Herod was about to bring him forward, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, guarded in the front of the door while was watching over the prison. I mean, this guy is, he ain't getting away. And behold, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared, and a light shone in the cell, and he struck Peter's side and woke him up. Peter's sleeping like a little baby, and he may have his head chopped off tomorrow. Because the peace of God which surpasses all comprehension. Wow. You know, I wonder, does anybody sleep the night before they're executed on death row? I don't think very well. Peter is sleeping like a little baby. In fact, they had to wake up. Here is this light, and it doesn't even wake him up. I sleep with shades because I don't want a little light. You know, for some of you, when you get older, you know what happens? A little light, you're up at 2 o'clock in the morning. You're up at 4 o'clock in the morning. You're up. A star is shining. I'm up. But look, a light shone and an angel shone, and Peter, get up, baby, get up. Woke him up, get up quickly, and his chains fell off his hands. You know what happens when you have the peace of God? It's like a burden that falls off your back and the chains fall off. It's relief. It's present quiet. It's resting. And the angel said to him, gird yourself, put on your sandals. And he did so. And so he got up, wrapped up his cloth around him, and following him. And when they passed the first and second guard, they came to the iron gate. Were these people asleep, the first and second guard? I don't know. But whether they were asleep or not, they got out. They could have been seeing them and seen nothing. Why? Because the peace of God that surpasses all comprehension. You're going to say, you know, I know nothing has changed, but I have such peace about it. That's what's going to happen, my friend. And it opened up by itself. The thing opened up by itself. And the chains fell off by itself. The guards didn't see them. It opened up by themselves. And immediately the angel departed. When Peter came to himself, he said, "Now I know for sure the Lord has sent his angel and rescued me from the hand of Herod and from all the Jews people were expecting." And when he realized this, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of Jesus, of John, who was called Mark. For many were gathered together and were praying. Oh! They weren't ruminating about it. They weren't trying to figure out, well, if we can get this and we can drop a bomb and we can unplug this and we got a plot to get in and go in your disguise and put on a mustache. All they did was bring it to God. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. We'll be done here. Hang in there with me. Notice, casting all your anxiety upon him because he cares for you. How much does Jesus care for you? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow, nor do they reap or gather in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? You know God feeds all the animals. Aren't you worth more than that? If God so clothed the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you? You of little faith. Are not two sparrows sold for a cent, and yet not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father? But the very hairs on your head are all numbered. So do not worry. You're more valuable than many sparrows. And he said to them, "What man is there among you who has a sheep, and if he falls in a pit of the Sabbath, will he not take hold of it and lift it out? How much more valuable then is the man than the sheep?" I know there's people hearing the tape. That's Matthew 6, 26 and 30, Matthew 10, 29 to 31, and Matthew 12, 11 and 12. Look at this. Sheep, animals. "He who did not spare his son, but delivered him up for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things?" How much does Jesus love you? This much. This much. This much. Look. Look. Look what I care for you. Look what I've done for you. Cast all your burdens upon me. I can carry it. Give it to me. Give it to me. Why will you squirm? Why will you struggle? Why will you fret? Why will you cry? That's what I am called to do. I'm the Savior. I'm the Lord. I'm Emmanuel. I am the Almighty, I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Cast it to me, don't bring it back in. Foolish people, little faith. You know what Paul wrote after he heard this? "I'm convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor anything will be able to separate me from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus." Nothing will separate me, not cancer, not the sword, not bankruptcy, not a disappointment, not anxiety, not my grandkids, not my children. Nothing can separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. He cares for you. He cares for you. You know the poem about, you know, "I was walking and I saw the footsteps of Jesus, and then suddenly a storm came and I didn't see the footsteps." And he says, "Lord, where'd you go?" He says, "That's when I picked you up." My friend, he's always picked you up. There's always one feet, pairs of feet. Jesus is always caring for you. He's always caring for you and looking for you. Now in closing, let me just mention two things. So I'm going to show you a man from the Old Testament, and then the New Testament will be done. The life of David. David had a lot of stress. A lot of it was his own doing, unfortunately. But a lot of it wasn't his doing. But he learned whether it was own doing or someone else's doing. He knew what he needed to do. And read, that's why the Psalms are so precious. The Diary of David. And on July 10th, 852 BC, I'm just making up a date. It's not a real date to David. This is what David wrote. "My heart is in anguish within me, and the terrors of death have fallen upon me." Boy, this guy is going through agony. "Fear and trembling come upon me, and horror has overwhelmed me. I said, oh, that I had the wings like a dove. I would fly away and be at rest." You know what his answer was? Get out of town. You know, like Southwest Airlines, you're embarrassed. Get out of town. "Behold, I would wander far away. I would lodge in the wilderness." Some people think, oh, I wish I was dead. It's escape. That's why people sometimes commit suicide. They can't take the stress anymore. That's their escape. I got to get out. I would hasten to my place of refuge from the stormy wind and the tempest. This is the verse by verse. Confuse, O Lord, divide their tongues, for I've seen violence and strife. You know what the problem is? People were talking about David. Notice, confuse, O Lord, divide their tongues. You know sometimes a lot of stress we have? From people. People who talk, who create problems, who gossip, who create disappointment, who are angry, who don't. Problems at work, problems in the family, problems with situation. This is not David in a battle. Day and night they go around upon the walls, and iniquity and mischiefs are in their midst. Why? What they say, listen, destruction is in their midst. Oppression and deceit do not depart from her streets. For it is not the enemy who reproaches me, then I could bear it. Nor it is the one who hates me who has exalted himself against me. Then I would hide myself from him. You know what I said? This is not a Philistine doing this. Look. Behold, it is you, O man, my equal, my companion. It's another Christian that you're having a problem with. It's your wife you're having a problem with. It's your husband you're having a problem with. It's your son you're having a problem with. It's the boss you're having a problem with. This is not some guy in Iraq that's bombing your life about. Notice, it's my companion, my familiar friend. We who had sweet fellowship together walked in the house of God in the throng. Let death come deceitfully upon him. Let them go down the shield. I mean, this is how David wished it could happen. For evil is in their dwelling, in their midst. But as for me, I shall call upon God. Here it is. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. And the Lord will save me. Evening and morning at noon, I will complain and murmur, and he will hear my voice. How often need evening, morning, and noon. That was the Jewish day. Evening, morning, and noon. That was the Jewish day. I will complain and murmur, and he complained to God. He will redeem my soul in peace from the battle which is against me. For there are many who strive against me. God will hear and answer me. Notice this certainty. Even the one who sits enthroned from on high, Shiloh, with where there is no change, and who do not fear. Now read on. His speech was smoother than butter, and his heart was war. His words were softer than oil, yet they were drawn swords. Cast your burden upon the Lord, and he will sustain you. You think that started with Peter? David quoted it. David is the one who... Peter is just writing what David wrote. Cast your burdens upon the Lord, for he will sustain you. That he will never allow the righteous to be shaken. For I satisfy the weary ones and refresh everyone who languishes. Cast all your burdens upon the Lord. Now let me just go back and we're done. Peter couldn't get any fish. You know what the next passage is? Lord, we fished all night. Put down the net. He put down the net and he got more fish than he needed. You know what the difference was? Jesus. There's a storm out. We're going to die. Don't you care? What's the difference? The winds and the waves became calm. What's the difference? Jesus. The mother-in-law is sick. You know what the next verse is? And Jesus healed her. What's the difference? Jesus. He disappointed the Lord. He sinned greatly. He disappointed and cursed against Jesus Christ and God Almighty. And he was weeping bitterly. And what happened when Jesus was resurrected from the dead? He said to Mary in the garden, go and tell my disciples and Peter. You know, he mentions Peter because he knew he was the only answer to take away the stress of that. What happened on the day of Pentecost? When they were in the upper room, what happened? Their door is shut. What happened? Peace, peace, shalom aleichem. Who appeared to them? Jesus. My friend, it's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. And when you cast it and put it in the loving hands of Jesus, you will find rest for your soul. 2006, I am casting all of my cares upon him because Jesus cares for me. My friend, if you want to have something to pray about after the service, come up. I'm not telling you to come forward for... You want to know the Lord? Come up and pray. There's people up here. Pray. Start this morning. Just say. You can't even share it, but do it. Let it be the seed this morning that you're going to give growth. God will give growth in giving your life peace and tranquility. Let's pray together. Father, thank you. Thank you that you know what we are and what we're made of. We are but dust. If life was easy, we wouldn't need you, but life is not easy. We complicate our lives. But thank you, Almighty God, for Jesus Christ. Thank you that we can have the confidence and the trust to cast all of our cares, every one of them, upon Him. Blessed be Jesus Christ. My friend, it's worth living for Jesus Christ. Bless your people in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, until Jesus comes again, as He surely will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good to have you. Sorry to go so long. There's plenty of food for breakfast. Thank you. You are dismissed.